Hello, and welcome to the Nintendo Teens Podcast. I'm Tommy Savoia.
And I'm Tia Savoia.
This is a podcast about Nintendo gaming and news. Today, we're going to talk about the new Fire Emblem announcements, as well as review Fire Emblem Awakening for the Nintendo 3DS. If you would like to comment on the show, you can contact us at www.nintendoteens.com, and you can visit our forums at nintendoteens.com/forums. Please visit our website at nintendoteens.com, and you can read our blog and listen to the podcast. Fire Emblem is a long-running, tactical-based RPG that has been on Nintendo consoles for years. They just announced a new game for the 3DS called Fire Emblem If in Japan, and also the crossover, the long-awaited crossover with Shin Megami Tensei, which will be on the Wii U. These two games will be at E3, if I'm correct, and currently in the U.S. they don't have release dates, but in Japan, the Fire Emblem 14 is going to be released sometime during the summer.
You sure it's sometime during the summer?
Well, I think it was in June or July.
June or July?
Yeah, I don't know why it's not. I mean, all the release dates are so wonky. If the game is going to be released sometime this year, okay, maybe it wasn't summer. I don't remember.
If it's summer, that means it's going to be released later.
I know it was 2015. So that means the game is very close to being finished. And probably the only reason I can think of it being delayed is to translate it from Japan into English or any other languages in Europe. That's about the only reason I can think for it to be delayed. So, I mean, Fire Emblem Awakening was a great game. And I can't wait for the sequel. And to hold me over, maybe this might come out before or after Shin Megami Tensei X Fire Emblem, which so far we only got a trailer of it.
The trailer, though, seemed to kind of reveal a lot, though, if you observe it. Because, I mean, if you look, some characters from the Fire Emblem games seem to have some sort of appearance in there. Like, maybe they look a little different. But, you know, it's them. There was one character that looked like Marth. We saw the obvious Tiki, and in part of the trailer, somewhere in the background, it showed her face and it said Tiki under it, so we know that's Tiki. It looked more like one of her earlier appearances in some of the older games than, you know, when she showed up in Awakening. There was also Crom with demon eyes, looked like. And one of the enemies was the head of a villain in Awakening named Gangrel. It was weird, though. It does take place in Tokyo. Of course, it's a Japanese game. There's supposed to be some sort of alternate fantasy world. Something
like... Shin Megami Tensei?
What?
That's Shin Megami Tensei.
Well, I haven't played the Shin Megami Tensei game, so I wouldn't know for sure. But I would say that Dev would, I mean, it sounds like that might be it, though, because from what I've heard about the game, I'm not sure. So, there's apparently the playable characters have some sort of transformation where they look like the Fire Emblem characters or something.
What?
Yeah, that's, like, because on the trailer it shows, like, the characters, like, having some sort of transformation sequence. Like, the protagonist guy, he ends up becoming Marth or something. Although, in my opinion, though, when I observed the trailer, there was, like, one character that looked kind of like Lin. I don't know if that's Lin, but it looked like Lin.
Why does there have to be transformations? If it's a crossover, then wouldn't it be the characters' interactions?
Well, it probably works differently since we don't know how since we've never played the Shin Megami Tensei games. It probably has to do something with that, too, so... It's confusing to me because I haven't played those games.
It seems really weird to me.
But the weirdest thing to me was Gangrel's head floating on around spiky thing.
The graphics look good, so that's a plus. So it's on the Wii U anyway, so HD Fire Emblem game. I think this is the first one. Yeah, the first HD Fire Emblem game. Or no, not really Fire Emblem, but Fire Emblem related. So moving on.
At least of the most HD-ness. I don't know. Yeah, so the next Fire Emblem game in the main series is going to come out, as we mentioned before, in Japan 2015 and 2016 and everywhere else in the world. to, yeah, Japan seems to get everything first. Okay, so the protagonist, named Kamui.
Is that the default name?
That's the Japanese name.
Oh. That's default, though.
The default, yeah, Japanese name, from what I've heard. He slash she is confirmed as a transformable unit and apparently some kind of customizable avatar, like in Fire Emblem Awakening.
I like the avatar. Some people didn't like the avatar system, but I like the avatar system because it added more personalization and customization to it.
Except you couldn't really customize the avatar much in Awakening.
Yeah, but
yeah. The one, I have to say, like, maybe the one thing that bothered people with Fire Emblem Awakening about the player there was because they didn't really flesh out stuff about the player much, and the dialogue was just, they made it really generic, so they could relate to as many people as possible with it. But it made a lot of people not like that. Although they're probably kind of, maybe fixing that, because in Fire Emblem 14, you have the ability to mold the story as you see fit, basically. You can choose two different sides, the path of Nor or Hoshido. And,
Two rivaling nations?
Yeah. And you can choose to side, like, with either one. I guess you can kind of, like, I mean, seeing as you mold the story and you make the player's choices, hopefully things won't seem as generic with the player, because, I mean, you know, there might be more options to do stuff and all that. Though no. There's...
Yeah. The two nations, one is warlike and one's peaceful, right?
Yeah, the peaceful one is based upon Asian countries, and then the warlike one is based upon European countries. It's basically like a clashing of cultures.
And for what you told me that the warlike one is that you have to play the game as well as also molding the nation into a better nation, so
yeah,
that's more hard mode.
Yeah, you have to reform the nation, basically, like, showing the Europeans that what they did was not right. Although, yeah, history stuff. Apparently, though, there's going to be, like, a third route that's in Japan, the two different choices you can make are going to be two separate games. A lot of people are saying how it's becoming really similar to Pokemon with the two separate game things. Though there's going to be a third option in Japan that's, like, DLC. Though from what I've heard and what people have been speculating as well, is that all of this, when it becomes, when they make it worldwide, all of this is going to be bundled together in one whole game, just, like, the whole package.
So
from what I've heard, I'm not entirely sure about this.
That's a massive Fire Emblem game. It's going to have three stories in it.
Well, yeah, but you get to pick which path.
Yeah, it's like... So you could have three profiles. Each profile you can play as in a different story.
Well, I don't know. Like, the game might have so much in it that you might not be able to have multiple profiles, but hopefully you can, because, you know, usually you can do that. I mean, it's kind of traditional.
Traditionally, there's three.
Yeah, traditionally in the Fire Emblem games, there's more than one profile that you can save. All right, so there were a lot of questions raised with the new trailer, because a lot of people are, you know, observing and speculating and stuff. A few things that I've heard and some things that I've speculated myself, like people were thinking how the protagonist probably transforms into a dragon or something, and that was confirmed true in the latest trailer. At least some kind of dragon thing. It looks like a dragon. It's got dragon wings from the split second we see it, but it might not exactly be a dragon. It might be some other kind of dragon.
So you can still reclass.
Yeah, you can still reclass, and you get, instead, in Fire Emblem Awakening, where you could have five skills at once, in this one you can have six skills, which may make the game more broken, not.
They're really trying to drive home the point of your character being the main character.
Or of you making a broken Mary Sue. I don't know. The Blue Dancer Girl, she wasn't, like, mentioned so much, like, not much was mentioned about her, but she was shown a lot in the trailer. Which leads me to think she's a very pivotal character in the plot.
Yeah, because in the trailer they showed the peaceful nation, and then she was wearing light blue, and then it flashed the darker nation, and then suddenly she was wearing darker colors with her mouth covered.
Yeah. And also there's, like, this scene that was shown in the trailers that shows the transformed player as a dragon, apparently trying to drown the dancer character. And then it was shown she had some sort of necklace thing, which apparently was one of the versions of the Fire Emblem.
So you think that the player character is going to, like, maybe has an uncontrollable dragon form, or maybe the dancer character, she is on the bad side.
Or maybe the player gets taken control of or something. Nobody knows. Nobody knows yet. We'll just have to wait and see.
If the transformation thing is a big plot point or a big part of the story or in the gameplay, then I think that it's not going to be like the same, like, how do you pronounce it, maniquette as in other games where you can't use the dragon stone if you're a different class. That, now maybe we'll find a way to put the dragon in there while you're a different class.
Well, you know, it's already like that in, like, because I mean, if they're a maniquette, like, they're, like, this race that could transform into dragons, then they could really just transform into a dragon any time, but when they're reclassed, they just fight differently in battle. It kind of shows that way, like, for example, when I was playing Awakening, I had Noe reclassed, and she's a maniquette, she can transform into a dragon. I had her reclassed into a mage, and then there were, like, some support she had with other characters where she would transform into a dragon, so, I mean, you know, they're probably just going to kind of ignore that reclassing part for that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want my player character to look like a dragon the entire time it's fighting. Kind of want him to look like a natural fighter at sometimes.
Oh, I'd be fine with the transforming into a dragon thing, because that's cool. Who doesn't just want to play as a dragon?
I don't want to play as a dragon all the time.
Oh, fine.
So, I think that they're probably going to bring back casual mode, hopefully, because it brought in more people. See, the thing with Fire Emblem Awakening is that this was planned to be the last game in the series if it did not sell well. The Fire Emblem games were losing their profits, and if this one had to sell a certain number of units, or else they would stop doing the Fire Emblem franchise. So they implemented casual mode to, I guess, welcome more people? I mean, that's what it seems, because
yes, for casual players, what's casual mode?
Fire Emblem is usually a hard series, because if one of your units dies in the story, then they die. You can't get in the back. And that might turn a lot of people off.
I don't know. I like the challenge of that, though. But another thing, there's a lot of, you know, new characters and stuff. Some of them we know the names of because they've been mentioned or something, but some of them we don't. But one thing I'd like to point out is there's this one character that I've seen someone mention before on the internet where there's, like, on the box art, the Japanese box art, for if you choose the north side, then there's this, like, one guy sitting there in the corner that wasn't even mentioned at all in the trailer that looks kind of like George Washington. And we don't know who he is, but who cares? Probably some random character.
I want to play as George Washington. I want to make him turn into a dragon.
I don't think that guy can turn into a dragon, but okay. I'm also thinking there might be some new classes, like, unless, like, because, you know, I saw in the trailer there was this one character that was, like, attacking, but they were dressed more like a ninja in a ninja stance, and they kind of seemed to disappear when they attacked. So I'm thinking maybe there's, like, a ninja class or something.
Oh, I would,
unless yes. It's just, well, unless it's just some variation of the assassin class where they move more like a ninja or something. So,
well,
like,
assassin
maybe
class was one of my favorites.
Yeah, well, maybe it's, like, the Hoshido version of the assassin class or something, because, you know, ninjas are kind of like spies and assassins and stuff.
Inigo.
Oh, yeah, Inigo. One of my favorite characters in the game.
In Awakening, Inigo was one of the optional characters, one of the second-generation child characters that you could recruit who traveled into the past. You could recruit him. He was optional in Awakening.
Yeah. If you're being confused that we're mentioning this random character out of the blue, there was this thing I saw that was pointed out, like, I saw a lot of speculation stuff on the internet, like, that all just boomed out right when, you know, that trailer and stuff was revealed. Somebody saw, somebody looked really closely at this one point in the trailer, and there is this one, like, tiny sprite, like the battle sprite, that looks just like Inigo's battle sprite. And it's not the player, because the player was also on the screen there.
Well, you also have to keep in mind that there are Fire Emblem, each game holds a lot of characters. So
yeah,
they can't all make everyone's sprite look unique. So
yeah, well, I looked at the sprite a little closer compared to Inigo's in Awakening. And you know how, like, each character, you know, has different hairstyles and stuff, because, you know, anime style and all that.
Yeah.
I looked closer, and the hair Like, the style of the hair, not including hair color, because Inigo's hair color can differ depending on who his dad is. The shape of the hair and stuff were exactly identical, pixel by pixel. So, I found that strange. And plus, that looked like a mercenary sprite. So, and Inigo's a mercenary by default in Awakening.
So, I think actually it would be cool if they brought back the second generation into the new game as, like, a continuation of Awakening. Because, you know, from what we can tell, it has the same style as in Awakening, like the menus and stuff. And the sprites look around the same, which that's expected because it's another 3DS game. It's not impossible that they could have done a sequel to Awakening, like they did with Ike's Path of Radiance and Radiant Dawn. I'm not sure which order it goes, but I know one was a sequel. And they did a prequel with Elwood and Roy. So, yeah, I think it's really possible this could be a sequel to Awakening.
Yeah, because they tie in stories a lot. And I'm just saying that this at least, even if it's not a sequel to Awakening somehow, but it's got to connect with somehow if Inigo's in there, I'd say that will be a big clue for there being recurring characters. And that's not an uncommon thing in the Fire Emblem games.
I think they should be more consistent with their characters. I mean, having to learn about a whole new slew of characters each game might get kind of tiresome.
Yeah, people get tired having to deal with that all the time. Like, that's why a lot of people sometimes get annoyed with new generations of Pokemon. Like, the Gen 1ers are like, oh, more Pokemon, come on. And, like, these Pokemon are so stupid. And just, like...
I've kind of given up trying to learn all the Pokemon because there's just so many. I can't keep up with
it. It's not that hard, really, if you play Pokemon a lot.
I don't play RPGs, like, all the time. I'm not too hardcore with RPGs.
There's like 720 now, and can memorize the names of all of them.
I can't do that.
Okay, so enough about Fire Emblem 14. Let's talk about Awakening, because that's what we've been playing lately, or at least finished playing.
Yeah, it's the first Fire Emblem game we actually played.
Yeah, we've been playing Fire Emblem 7 for the Game Boy Advance on the Wii U, because they have that out for the Wii U, and it's fun, too.
Okay, so first of all, what's different about Awakening is that one's in 3D. Two, it has a casual mode, which is your units don't die. Well, they do die, but you can use them in the next battle. They don't die permanently. They just leave the battlefield.
Well, Ike's games were also in 3D. Not 3DS 3D, but 3D models.
Yeah. So, about Awakening is that they really fleshed out the support system with this, is that if you have characters work with each other, sometimes you can see some conversation between them, and there's just so many combinations of them.
Well, actually, there are supports in the older games. It's just not as much as a feature as it is in Awakening.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you've gotten to being able to see, because I don't think you know too much about the support feature in Fire Emblem 7, because it's not, they don't really mention it in the tutorial portion. But if you have characters, like certain characters, spend enough turns next to each other, you can unlock them being able to talk to each other in battle.
Still, I'm not sure it has just as many combinations as Awakening does.
Yeah, Awakening has, Awakening points it out more, and because there's an importance to that, because, you gotta get some of the characters to marry so you can get some of the children from the future, and they'll inherit stats and skills, depending on who their parents are.
The, support feature was really fleshed out, and they added more classes, I think, in Awakening?
Yeah, I think so. There's also some DLC classes, too. Like the Bride class and Dreadfighter class.
And there's lots of DLC. Each costs like $3 a pop. It's really expensive. I was about to buy one, and then I thought...
Actually, they have the bundles, which helps you save more. So I got like the Scramble bundle.
Okay, so it adds more to the story, right? So about the story.
Yeah, you get to see more. Well, it doesn't necessarily add more to the story. It's just like extra bonus stories and stuff. And you can sometimes see more conversations with the characters, like with the Hot Spring Scramble, Summer Scramble, and Harvest Scramble DLC chapters, where like you can see the characters, more of the characters interact with each other, like the ones that don't have supports.
But the story itself in Awakening is not, it's very simplistic.
Yeah, it's
not like the other ones.
Personally, I like it, and I really like the story, but it's very cliched. And it's kind of a problem when you like a cliched story, because it's like, I like this story, but it's really cliched. Oh.
Yeah, and they You're supposed to believe that Robin and Crom are, or the Avatar and Crom are really close friends, but it really doesn't point that out at all during any of their supports or the story itself.
It does, actually.
It does, but not, like,
They don't have, like, best bros moments too much in there, because, they're busy in a war.
Yeah.
You know, it's a war game.
And the main character, Crom, himself, he's not very interesting compared to the other protagonists.
Yeah, I mean, he's actually one of my favorite characters because people make fun of him and joke about him so much and stuff. And he's kind of thick, as in the head. But, he's actually not that very diverse as a character. He's not too much of a round character. He's a little more on the flat side of being a character, and that's a problem when he's one of the main characters. I think we've already mentioned that the game takes place after Marth's story. Kind of ties in with, sort of with Marth's story, kind of. Well, not exactly ties in, but it takes place generations after. Okay, so, a lot of the features here, I think we mentioned casual mode.
Yeah, grinding is, takes a long time.
Grinding.
Yeah, grinding for supports or for skills or levels.
Oh, well, that's not necessarily casual mode specific.
Well, no, but grinding itself is
kind of... In casual mode, the units don't die, and usually it's tradition of Fire Emblem games where if a unit gets defeated in battle, they die. And if one of the main characters that's important to the story dies, it's game over. In this case, if it's the player or Crom. But,
So that means Lucina can die.
Well, actually, like, because if it's another character that's, like, really important to the story, and you have them die, like, even in, like, hardcore mode, then, what am I saying, hardcore mode? Classic mode, playing Minecraft. In classic mode, even if you have, like, Lucina die, instead she just says that she retreats, because she's important to the story, but she's not, like, the main character you have to protect from dying.
Okay. So it's like in the tutorial Fire Emblem 7.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
I guess, but not like where if you lose someone, then you get them back later, because this is classic mode.
Well, no, in the tutorial in Fire Emblem 7, you never get them back. They're in the story, but you can't use them.
Like, say you get, like, one of the future children, which is, like, an optional thing to get them, and, like, you get Brady or something, and he gets killed, and if you're playing classic mode, you can never have him in that file again, because he died. There's not much going on, like, after you finish the story, unless you get the DLC.
See, I finished the story before she did, so I was kind of shocked when I found that there was really nothing you can do after the story. Just, you can go back to the end of the game before you're about to do the final level, and that's about it. What I kind of was hoping for was that you kind of stay around, grind your characters more, fight against, you know, other people with... online. That could have given Fire Emblem a lot of endgame value. Like, if they had it so at the end of the story, you can still grind your characters, you can still get supports you didn't get before,
you can still do that. You can do that.
Yeah, I know, but it's just after you finish the game, kind of want to. I kind of like wanted an epilogue.
Yeah, it just kind of took me forever to finish the game because I was grinding for supports most of the time. I mean, if I didn't, I probably would have finished it quicker.
Online is really disappointing in this.
Yeah, there's like, you can't, the only thing that's like over the internet is getting teams from Spot Pass to show up on your map so you can have a battle with them while they're controlled by the computer.
And it's no tactical movements or anything.
Yeah, and then that also works for Street Pass. But, I mean, there was, like, another game, another Fire Emblem game, I forget which one it was, that, where you could have, like, if you could have on one file, and then another file, you could have, like, two people, fight against each other. And then that would have been cool if they did that with, like, online. Online for, Awakening, so people would be, like, more inclined to play more against each other.
Nintendo's not known for its online capabilities. Really, it's kind of infamous for it. What they really gotta do is get it into shape and do what they did with Pokemon. What makes Pokemon kind of an endless game is that once you're done with the story, you're not really done. You can either catch them all, you can Or you can keep grinding for and training your different Pokemon so you can fight different people around the world.
And there's a lot
that's
of,
what I like.
There's a lot of hard work in the game, actually, training and raising like the perfect team so you can fight against people in actual tournaments, like actual live tournaments. You can do that.
Yeah, but that's what makes it like a good game, because you can keep grinding that you're really never finished with it, that there's just so many possibilities. That's what they should do. That's what, honestly, I think is what they should do with Fire Emblem, that even though it doesn't have as many possibilities with the units like Pokemon, you should still be able to, I don't know, fight against other people online, and so you can refine your tactics and stuff. That'd make it really good.
And then maybe they'd even start having, like, Fire Emblem tournaments or something.
That'd be fun.
That would be interesting to see. Alright, so I've also heard a lot of people complain about the difficulty of the game being a little too easy, and,
to welcome new players.
Yeah, well, it's like, they have normal mode, which they say is for, beginners to the series, and then there's hard mode, which is veterans, and I was playing normal mode for a little bit, but, like, I had already played a bit of, Fire Emblem 7 before I started playing this. So I was like, oh, well, this is way too easy. I'll just play hard mode. But then after a lot of grinding and stuff, you know, it makes even hard mode too easy. So then there's lunatic mode, and I have a file on lunatic mode. And it's like normal mode and hard mode are too easy, and then lunatic mode is just insanely hard, especially at the beginning, because there are these two notorious chapters. Chapter 2 and Chapter 3, I think, or Chapter 4. Remember which one? Chapter 3, yeah. Where they're just so insanely hard. So hard that you have to rely on Frederick to get you through the whole thing.
Yeah.
What's so funny?
I don't know. It's that the main characters can't really do anything compared to Frederick.
It's like the only way to get through it at the beginning is to pair the player with Frederick and then have Frederick do most of the fighting while the player's at his side, leveling up a little, so you can, because, you know, the player is also one of the strongest characters in the game. But you don't want to have Krom do the fighting here, because, you know, he's not as strong.
He's kind of
defensively,
weak, actually.
Yeah. And plus, he's one of the last characters you want dying, even though the player's also like that. But
I found out that if you don't give him the rapier, then he's really, with the falchion, he really can't really do much. I mean, he's the falchion in the start of the game, if you don't, because you get the exalted falchion later on.
Yeah, it gets more powerful later on.
But that's only in, like, the last, like, three chapters. Throughout the entire game, if you don't want him breaking his sword and you give him the falchion, he's going to be really weak. He's going to be one of the weakest units.
Yeah, and also a lot of surviving lunatic mode, you have to rely a lot on, you know, finding just the right items when you go on event tiles and the random number generator being in your favor.
I guess that wraps it up with Fire Emblem Awakening.
Yeah.
All in all, it's a good game. It's probably one of the best 3DS games out there still, even after its release in, like, 2013. Is it the best Fire Emblem game?
Depends on your opinion.
Yeah, story-wise, probably not. Support-wise, you know, with character interactions, maybe. And difficulty, no.
It depends. It depends if you played Lunatic Mode or not. Once you finish Lunatic Mode, there's Lunatic Plus mode, which is even harder.
Because I'm not really a hardcore RPG person. I really don't like the really hard RPGs. But for me, it was really welcoming to that. It wasn't too hard, and it was welcoming for a beginning player. So, yeah, it's a good game. If you would like to comment on the show, you can contact us at www.nintendoteens.com. If you're not a member, please sign up for the forums community at nintendoteens.com/forums. And please take a visit to our website at nintendoteens.com. You can read the blog and access our podcast. Our theme music is Presenterator by Kevin McLeod, courtesy of incompetech.com. And Nintendo Teens is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. And that's it for our show today. We hope you enjoyed it, and thanks for listening. So until next time, stay in the game.